The second point which I was going to mention is one which is very critical to the understanding of what happened in Germany, in Russia, as a matter of fact, under communism and elsewhere. We have sort of the feeling that you can fight dictatorship if you are determined to do so. We give very little thought about how to accomplish that. My premise is that an unorganized minority without weapons has but little chance to fight an organized, well-equipped majority.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if we stand excused to accept a regime like Hitler's, then we stand in Russia just the same accused of accepting Stalin and all the misery which resulted in Stalin, to accept communism in China. With other words, we have to condemn a majority of the total population of the world at the present time. The third comment which I want to make pertains to one's responsibility under such circumstances. Clearly, one cannot go out on the street with a gun and shoot Stalin or Hitler. That's impossible. One would be captured way before one even could attempt to undertake that, that sort of thing. Your only chance to do something about such a system is to spread what I call to spread the good word, try to establish contact with others, and or transmit important information to the outside. At risk of being called a traitor. That are the two only means how you can operate. The first one was tried, yes, as a matter of fact, I was aware during the Nazi time of several such attempts being made in Germany. The problem was that as a group of people who agree, close, earlier or later, a spy enters to the organization and the group explodes. That happened, of course, several times in Germany and no doubt very frequently in Russia, likewise. The next comment pertains to loyalty in general and whistleblowers. How far should you go with your responsibilities in this regard? Well, I choose to try to transmit information to the outside. I didn't tell you about another experience which I had, which had a negative effect, as a matter of fact, on me. After the war, Krajewski approached me and asked me to sign a statement that he, in spite of the fact that he had been a member of the Nazi Party, was always an anti-Nazi, that he saved a number of Jews from persecution, hiding, as a matter of fact, some of them for a long period of time in his house, and a variety of other statements, or very strong statements.
Were those statements true?
No. I was initially weak enough to sign the statement. On the next day, or a couple of days later on, I had considerable qualms about signing it. I came back to him and said, "Herr Professor, I've written another statement in which I stated that you, that you knew that I was an anti-Nazi. Nevertheless, you gave me a job." I believe that was the case, indeed. But I should not sign the other statement. I don't know anything about you hiding Jewish people and so on. He gave me back the original certificate, except the weaker second statement. But I know he considered me not loyal. Once again, I had run that problem in my life of being not loyal. Loyalty to one's nation, to one's employer, is something very important, you know. And acts which are repeatedly undertaken are usually condemned, or many people at least are condemned. In retrospect today, I don't know if I would take those two actions again. I'm convinced that 9 out of 10 people, if not 99 out of 100 people, wouldn't act as I had acted on the occasions. It's very, very demanding, of course.
Yeah.
Krajewski considered me disloyal, clearly. And while he recommended me frequently for all sorts of things, like the Krajewski Prize and other things, He nevertheless felt very much that I couldn't be trusted. Mm-hmm. His wife told me that later, that he admired me very much, but that he felt that I was not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So much about loyalty in your responsibilities to society. It's a very tactical thing. Well, I thought I had said for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.